Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This podcast is the result of my passion for languages and for talking to people. I have conversations with language professionals who are willing to share their experience. We focus on their work, but also on how their love for languages has shaped their personal lives. I'm Rita Prazeres Gonçalves, and I provide language services such as translation, localization, voiceover, and others in English and in Portuguese. I am also a language mentor for Portuguese speakers who are learning English and English speakers who are learning Portuguese. I am the language worker. Get in touch if you would like to know more about how I can help you with your projects. My email is rita@thelanguageworker.com. This podcast is also available as a videocast on YouTube. Hi, everybody. I'm very excited. This is a long overdue episode, I think, because ever since I talked to Aniko, which was already, what, a good 4 months ago or five or something like that? Yeah. So I was already in season two. Now I go by seasons. And it's like, it's a big deal. So we already talked about the possibility of doing an episode about women in localization. So you're a part of Women in Localization UK. And this is why today, finally, it happened, because they've been super busy. They're going to tell us why. But the idea is to get to know a little bit of the history of the institution, let's call it that, or the group, and to understand what you do as a part of it and where it came from or what it's doing now and what it's going to do in the future. So this is the idea. So I will start inevitably by asking Aniko to present herself briefly, because we do have a whole episode. Then I'll put the link below, because I'm sure it's interesting. It was very relaxed and very nice. I'd say it was a really good one. So if you could please just introduce yourself briefly in case someone doesn't know who you are.
Yeah, so my name is Aniko Petumorowski, and I'm a translator, freelance translator by day, and I also very much enjoy volunteering. And one of my volunteering endeavors is with Women in Localization, the UK chapter. Mm-hmm. I've joined the organization, this specific chapter, about 3 years ago. I started in the social media team, and at the moment I'm the chapter manager of the team. So my task is to like kind of hold everyone together and make sure that everything is done on time. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you will have some questions about the organization as well. So maybe...
Yes, so we will do it a little bit later after we know who we have here. Nancy, let's hear it.
Okay, hello. I'm Nancy Panini. I'm the marketing manager for the Women in Localization UK chapter. Mm-hmm. I work for Aqualab Group as a business development manager, but I've really held quite a few positions in the localization industry over the course of my career. I'm quite old. I'm a 60-plus person. So my experience in localization extends, you know, to 30-plus years anyway. Mm-hmm. So I joined the Women in Localization chapter a couple of years ago, and not too long after, a position came open and for marketing manager, and I applied, and I'm so delighted that they have included me in this organization and in the team, because it's been just a wonderful and delightful experience for me. Mm-hmm. My role is, well, my primary role, I think, is at the moment is pulling together all the information from our teams to compile the newsletter and send that out monthly. I also help with the marketing strategy for the chapter. I work really closely with the social media team. Mm-hmm. But when I joined, this was functioning so well that there was really, really not an awful lot for me to do in that respect in terms of strategy, but just working with the team and supporting them in any way I can. And again, pulling together all of the information that we have on events that we've had, and events that are upcoming, and making sure that that information gets out to our member base. So that's my role.
Well, sounds great and a lot of work, even if you say that everything is very organized, but I believe
it's a lot
you,
of work, but a lot
still.
Of fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. So Sarah, is it
Sarah,
Italian?
Yeah. Exactly. Ah. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Yeah. So my name is Sarah Pazzoli. I'm an Italian translator and subtitler. And in Women in Localization UK, I am one of the social media managers together with Melissa. So what we do is we prepare social media content, particularly on LinkedIn. But we also have an Instagram account, which is fairly new, but it's really nice. When we are at events, for example, we do stories and videos. So it's really cool. And I joined Women in Localization over a year ago now. And I've also enjoyed my role a lot because it's very creative, you know, writing, and we create the graphics as well on Canva. So that's really nice. I think me and Melissa, we enjoy that the most. And I'll head it over to Melissa maybe because we share the role. So she can tell a bit more.
I see. You're kind of a pair. But let's hear
exactly.
From Melissa. I already asked her if she was in any possible capacity related to Marina Ilari from Terra Translation. Of course, she's her sister. So we've already cleared that. So she is like a heritage language professional, right? Is that the case, Melissa?
Yes, that's a great way to introduce it. Yes, I you could say I've been in the translation industry since I was born, I guess, because my mom has worked as a translator since, and she started the company. Now then my sister became the CEO and I worked with her as a business development manager. I was an account manager for 5 years. So that's more or less like my experience. Now I'm in the business development manager on the Terra localization side, which is specialized in video game translation. Mm-hmm. And we also have a podcast / videocast called Open World, where we talk about video game localization, interview different localization directors from video game developers and publishers and stuff like that, which is something I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And of course, since I joined Women in Localization was about 11 months ago. So after Sarah, and love sharing the team with her, everyone in the team, honestly, like we do so many events. It's really, really, really cool. And I also, for some reason, really liked graphic designs ever since I was in high school. So I was like,
you want to do mine?
Perfect. We're combining a lot of things I like to do. So yeah.
Wow. That sounds very exciting. If you enjoy that kind of activity, I have to say that it's such a painful moment in my life when I have to do my graphics, because I do everything myself, obviously, as you can tell by how basic everything is. But hey, this is what I can do. So I already know who to go for if I need any help with that. So at least I sometimes
Anytime.
Think, oh my God, I'm so boring, but I cannot do any better than this. So, I mean, I end up always going back and forth with the same images. So now I know who to call if I'm in trouble. So about women in localization, I'm sure that Aniko, you girls know how this whole, you call it institution or group or?
Organization.
Okay, that sounds good. So do you know how it came about with the early beginnings, how the first chapter, I guess that's what you call it, was created and all of that? So just a few words about that.
So everything started in the US, and it was 2008. So actually this year is a big year for the global organization because it's the 15th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So there were lots of celebrations all over the globe. We also did our local celebration here in the UK. So it started in 2008. And basically the idea is to kind of foster an advancement of women and in general the localization industry and women in the localization industry, because as you might also know, there is still kind of like a pay gap in the industry as well. There are lots of female workers in the industry, but the top positions are usually occupied by men. So basically this organization was started to address these, to provide a networking platform, provide some training and resources, and even though it says women in the title, mm-hmm. it's not just for women. So anyone who who feels like this mission is important to them can join, and we have all kinds of members. So it's not only for women.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone can join, and yeah. actually membership is free, and all the events are free as well. So I think this is what is a great thing about this organization. That yeah, it's a community. We have events. I don't know what else.
So Nancy, I'm just wondering, because you're a bit more senior in the industry. Let's say that, right? Just yes. like me. Not well, we're not the same type of seniors, but we are seniors already.
Sure. Yeah.
You have a little bit more experience. I've been around for about 25 years in the industry. So it's, mm-hmm. it's a long time, but you have been longer. And you have been in exciting places, really. More exciting than the ones that I've held. So I'm wondering, you having such an exciting position in a company right now, and you've had in other companies before. So by the way, everybody, I just found out that Nancy and I were co-workers for a long period. And I didn't know. So because it was yes, a big company, right? So we worked together yeah. In what is now Accolade. So we joined many years ago. And so that means that even before the companies joined forces and all of that. So, but that was a period when we were co-workers, and it was quite a long period, probably 4 or 5 years at least, but yes, we didn't indeed. Know each other. So that was pretty sad. I wish I had known all of this before, but no.
Well.
Oh yeah. Do you feel like you have a bit of a mentorship role for these younger generation of women? I don't like talking about younger generation because it's like, I do a lot of things that people are now doing in their 20s, but because I've only found out about these opportunities or situations that I've only done them now. So it's not necessarily generation, but let's talk about in terms of time that they have been in the industry. I guess this is the fair way to put it, because I have a lot of friends who started in the industry in their 40s, in their 50s, which is totally normal. So it's not fair to talk about a generation somewhat, but generation as professionals, right? Not as their age or people. But how has it been for you to be surrounded by people who are getting started in the industry, who have joined the organization? Also, I'm sure looking for some support, some knowledge and all of that. So how has that been for you?
Well, yeah, that's a really interesting question. And that is probably what led me to want to join the organization and be a part of the team, because I felt like I did have quite a body of experience that I could bring to the table. And I think my first communication with the UK chapter manager was with respect to mentorship. I was interested there, that I had seen some information come out on LinkedIn that, you know, there were mentorship opportunities with women in localization. So I got in touch. And then the
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Position came open on the management team. It wasn't in mentorship, it was in marketing, which I have to say that I really enjoyed, because as Sarah and Melissa have said, from social media, the social media side, it's very creative, and I really loved that part of it. But in terms of mentorship, I feel like, yes, I can add a lot, but I'm just learning so much from these younger ladies. they come from, you know, very varied backgrounds, and it's just been great for me to learn more about social media, for example, that maybe is something that I'm having to catch up on
we all do
in recent years. So, you know, this I'm learning as much as I'm able to contribute, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, mentorship is kind of a big thing for me these days. My I have a daughter who is actually now working in the localization industry, so of course, you know, I feel like I'm mentoring.
We have
her
to have her for the heritage reunion with Melissa.
Yes. So, Women in Localization has a great mentorship program. You know, we have a mentorship platform that's free to members as well. I've joined that and I'm participating in that. So yes, that was really a key factor in me joining and becoming more active in Women in Localization, because I wanted to be able to share my experience, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, sounds great. That's what I thought. I mean, I understand that people like us who have been doing this for a long time and enjoy doing it so much. I mean, yes. I like I always say, I love doing it, but I love talking about it a lot more.
Yes.
So I understand that we feel like we also have, you know, it's like a give back to the community kind of thing, because things right. have evolved in such a way. And I guess it's good for everybody to have also a vision of the history on how things have developed, at least in the last 30 mm-hmm. or 40 years, because it's been, you know, huge. But if you've only arrived recently, you might have the picture that things are a bit more complicated than sometimes they are. But talking about complicated things, well, I guess for Nancy and I, social media is kind of a bit more of a less natural kind of a realm of events. But I guess for you, and there's a reason I'm sure that both of you are involved in the organization in the way that you are. So were you, Sarah, already, or Sarah, don't like to say Sarah because it's Sarah, right? it's the right way to say it, or it's an approximate
Sarah. No, Sarah. Yeah.
We
I
say
like
Portuguese
that.
Sarah. So it's Sarah. Between one and the other, right?
In Italian, we roll the R a lot. So Sarah, you know, r.
And that's Sarah, my daughter's name as well. So
exactly.
She's Italian.
Okay. I have a lot of friends called Sarah and I love them all. So it's an important name for me. So were you already very involved on, I mentioned LinkedIn a lot, obviously, because it's where I spent most of my time, even if now I have created an Instagram profile, and I actually enjoy, because of course I like posting a lot of videos. Narcissist here. And so I am now going also in that direction, but definitely my first thing to do is to publish or to post on LinkedIn and then go take care of everything else, right? So were you already very familiar with the ins and outs of posting on social media? Were you already working in these specific networks? Were you somewhere else? Were you more a Facebook person? I guess not.
No.
Just kidding.
No Facebook, but not a TikTok either. I'm in between the Facebook and TikTok generation. Yeah.
Because I guess you have a more professional mind when it comes to this. So I suppose that LinkedIn and Instagram should probably be the ones that we professionals look for in order to, you know, to find like-minded people, as we say. Right?
Yeah,
so
no,
were
but
you
to
very
reply
familiar?
To... Mm-hmm. To reply to your question, I was by no means a professional on social media. I used to use Instagram quite a lot for personal picture and posting. I enjoyed that quite a lot, especially the creative part, as we mentioned before. LinkedIn, I just started using it, but to be fair, I wasn't very expert on it. When I joined the team, Aniko was in the social media team, so I learned a lot from her, I have to be honest. So it was a learning curve, like we learned together the tricks and tricks of LinkedIn. We also use a scheduling platform, but it was also very easy to learn. And with Canva, I had a quick training and then we just learned it. I don't think I was any expert. I just really enjoy the task, so it makes it easier to do it. But then we try our best. Yeah, we're by no means professional.
I'm gonna start looking at that carefully.
But it's interesting what Nancy was saying about, you know, she joined the organization being so experienced. For me, it was quite the opposite experience, because I joined the organization by being by no means expert of the industry. And that's the reason why I joined the organization. And when I saw the position for social media manager, I thought it was the perfect opportunity actually to, you know, start networking, start meeting people. And it was great to meet my team members, because I can learn from their experiences, and just talking to them, for me it's learning every day. So it's been an amazing experience. But it's quite funny, because it's actually the opposite position as Nancy. But yeah.
Well, that's exactly why it's really interesting to have them.
But it's good. I guess that what makes our team so good is because we all come from different backgrounds, different level of experience. So we compensate each other in many ways. Mm-hmm. So it's really good, indeed. I think.
Yeah, I bet. But then we have Melissa, who is here in a very interesting position, right? Because it's like you have been in the industry for a minute, right? You do something that is very specialized, I guess you can say that. I've had a guest who's an expert, Diego Perez. Our interview is in English, but he's Brazilian. But I loved talking to him. So, I mean, if there's any more episodes to be done about games, I'm game, right? Like always, I love talking about it. I was involved in a few projects back in the day, right? So for Sony PlayStation, and there was a blast, but it was not like I was involved in a full-blown process, and I'd love to be a part of it because I've heard that there's some sort of it's like the work is divided and meaning it belongs to different types of specialities, people who know more about terminology, more about legal content, other people with more creative. So it's like a whole world. So, I mean, I guess there wouldn't be enough episodes to talk about all sorts of people involved in that. So I love it. But having all of this background, so when you joined first, why would you join Women in Localization UK? Because this is what we're talking about. Is it because you feel like it's not really relevant to be involved in a specific chapter because in the end you always feel part of the same group? What's the relationship between your group, your chapter specifically? I love this word. And then generic chapter, main chapter, how do you go about that?
Yeah, we have like the global team, and so a lot of times we hear from them, or there's a global event, which recently there was because it was the 15th anniversary of the organization. Mm-hmm. So it was a big event that happened in San Francisco.
San Jose.
Yeah. I've lived there, so I know.
That area. So. But yeah, I mean, I joined, I'm based in London in the UK. I lived there for about 3 years. And my sister is part of the Women in Localization Los Angeles. So I've been following her path there and the events they do. And I always thought it was really cool. And to be honest, I really just connect to the mission of the organization. I remember the first ever conference I went to. It was, for LSPs. And I went to both. It was one was a lot of translators, and I noticed, wow, there's so many women in this industry. And then we went to this other conference, which was a lot of more like CEOs, and there were a lot of men there. And I was like, this doesn't add up. Why is
so many women?
But then this one is full of men like this. So I think ever since then, I was, it's been bugging me, and like I really connect with the message of the organization, and I just wanted to kind of contribute a little bit from my side.
But then you went to this more social media oriented part of it, which really, how does it meet what you already do in your professional life?
Yeah, so I mean, my path has been really kind of random, which at first I thought it was really weird, but then honestly, like hearing from people's careers, I noticed a lot of times people have really diverse backgrounds. So I don't feel that bad. I'm like, okay, it's not like I was a traditional path, honestly. I have a master's in policy and management. Like it's kind of like, so yeah, it's just a bit all over the place, but I guess I'm more like, I know it more on like the business side of things. And my work, I have to use LinkedIn a lot, and I kind of communicate a lot, the conferences we're doing, kind of spreading different messages and things like that. And also I was volunteers in different organizations ever since I was in high school.
That's very American, right?
I was like 8 years I was a volunteer in this, educational programs in Argentina. And I was also in charge of all the communication and social media, videos, everything we were doing. So that also like gave me a lot of experience for like a really run. I was just involved in this NGO because I liked the programs they were doing, and so I got some experience from there. So I thought, okay, this is something I can contribute from this side, even though it's not really, you know, of course, like as Sarah was saying, I'm not an expert either. Like I didn't study anything related to social media that makes me an expert in it. But I do have some random experience that I thought I could use to contribute from that side.
Sounds good to me. So you guys were talking about different types of events, right? And you just mentioned CEOs and just mentioned a lot of people who are women in other types of gatherings. So do those events come from the mainland, the mothership, or do you have freedom, let's call it that, or you're independent to a certain point and you can just decide on what you're going to do? What kind of events do you hold? How do they occur? Where do they come from? Who thinks about them? So Nancy and then Aniko a little bit together.
Sure. Yes. Well, I'm happy to start, and team, jump in whenever you feel like I'm missing something. But yes, we actually have the freedom to decide on our own events. We have we select as the management team, we select the topics that we want to do. We do one event, pretty much one event a month. Would you say that's correct, Aniko? It's it's between the networking events that we run.
Like and,
sorry?
It feels like it's one event per month, but I think this year has been particularly busy.
Yes.
We normally...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Aim for 4 events per year. So one every quarter, but this year has been, we had lots of events, as Nancy mentioned.
So in-person events you now have, or most of them are actually online?
So we still have quite a lot online. Trying to return.
We do kind of a combination, and we're also experimenting with hybrid events. So we'll have a group in person, and then we also record the event and stream it. So we've had a couple of events like that this year. It's kind of a combination of both.
So what's the main goal? Is the idea to... Because you mentioned CEOs, and I suppose they're not all a part of Women in Localization. So, I'm just thinking, stuck in with the idea with the CEOs for me to have examples on what kind of events you might do, right? So what's the idea of those quarterly events that you hold as your main events, I suppose? And then the smaller events that you do, are they like subject to a theme, to a group of people? Are there generic? Are there with a chapter? Is it by subject? How do you handle that, Aniko?
So basically this year we did something different. Normally we would just come together and look at our membership. We have some information about whether they are freelancers. We have some freelancers, we have project managers, we have some people in senior roles amongst our members. So it's really a diverse group of people. So we need to find something that anyone or everyone would find interesting and useful as well. So this year, what we did is we did a poll on social media with some topics that we thought would be interesting. And we basically went by that poll, the results of that poll, that, okay, people want to hear about trans creation. So we had actually not one but 2 events on trans creation, and we had an event on SEO. That's quite a popular topic now.
I answered those polls, I remember that.
You see?
I have.
So we listened, so we looked at the results and we said, okay, we are going to do these events this year. And so we do listen to our members, and at the moment we're actually preparing one event for those who are just entering the industry. So either because they are fresh out of university, or they are changing roles,
or fresh out of anything else.
Like if they've been in another industry, but they want to like enter the localization industry. So it will be an in-person event only in London this Friday. in collaboration with the university, UCL. So that will be mostly for students, actually, and some other. So just looking at the bookings of who booked, it's like half-half of people who are just switching roles and people who are still studying and preparing for their entry to the industry. And then we are also planning an event on AI, because that's also a very
a hot topic.
So for the last event of the year, we are planning an AI focused event. It's so the day we have the date, 8th of December, and we are
Did
still
you say 8th?
8th.
8th.
8th, yeah. So we are still
heard it here first.
Yes. Yeah, so we haven't even sent out the
it's
a spoiler. It's
don't worry, it will go out today, so it's fresh. Everything is fresh here. Spoiler All alert. Information will be accurate.
Yeah, so please, yeah, just keep an eye on on their social.
We will.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are still finishing that. Organizing that event, but then we're also looking ahead already for next year, because next year is a very special year for our chapter, because our chapter was started in December 2014, so it will be the 10th anniversary of the chapter itself. So please expect some huge things.
So many spoilers.
Maybe another podcast. No. Maybe another podcast episode.
I was listening.
That's what I say to everybody. So speaking of people who are starting fresh, etc., right? So Sara, when you go to these events, are you like someone who tries to attend as much as possible? Are you super busy so you don't really have the time? How is it for you? And when you do attend, what have you been attending throughout this year? And how do you feel about it? So some feedback, if you have any negative feedback, that's welcome too.
No negative feedback. I think I've actually attended all the event this year from the UK chapter. There you go. Right. Yeah. And
so what have they been, really? I mean, the ones you can remember from the top of your head, not going to
So as going back in time. So basically we did one in September.
Long ago.
No, I'm going backwards. So the one in September was about audiovisual translation, which was basically my field, and it was really interesting because we learned about, you know, audio description, neural machine translation, how is it implemented in the audiovisual translation industry, AI dubbing and things like that. The one before was, we also had some networking event in the summer with our partner, which is the Association of Translation Companies. So we do some networking events locally. Another event was the SEO. So we learned, as Aniko said, we learned a little bit about this practice, how to specialize in that field if someone wants to. So we try also in our event to have, for example, one freelancer, someone who works in-house. So we have different perspective in every event. And we try to share like tips on how to get involved in this role, how to succeed, or what can be the challenges in this field. What else? The first event was... Help me here. You just mentioned it, Aniko. The first one year.
We did Transcreate.
Transcreation. There you go. How could I forget that?
Yeah.
Transcreation Atelier. that was a huge success, actually, because we had so many people signing up. Over 300 people signed up for that event online, which was, I think, our all-time records for the UK chapter. So these were the events in the
because
UK.
Because I need to join. I see that now.
It's a no-brainer, you have to join.
Yes, for sure. So how do you feel about participating in all these things, and how has it broadened your horizons?
You know what, it's great to learn a little bit how to network, because I guess when you're new in the industry you are a bit shy. Me as a person as well, I'm a little bit shy, so add to that you're new, so you don't really know what to do. So you know, it's good to go out, and it's a very positive environment, the one of women in localization. So it's kind of reassuring that, look, it's okay. You just go there, talk to people. And it's really important, you know, to expand your network when you're starting out, because you really need to meet the people who work in the industry, to talk to them, ask about what they do, and learn from them. So yeah. that's
if I might say so, Nancy, correct me if I'm wrong. That's, I guess, one of the things that has changed the most in the industry, right? Or any other industry, I suppose, because back in the day, I guess that it was a bit like there were no social media outlets for any of this to happen. So your contact with companies was very different, was much more of a one-on-one situation. You would just approach companies and have no idea on what was going on and what really happened inside the company or anything like that, right? So we had this completely different
issue. Yes.
So this is like a new way of approaching.
Indeed, there's just so much information available now. You know, it's almost overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, LinkedIn can be overwhelming. And I think that is a challenge even to make sure our message is getting through, you know, to make sure that we're getting through to our member base. That's why we, you know, we reach out through various channels, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, X.
I know.
and our newsletter, our email campaigns. So yeah, it's really important to reach out through the various channels, but it can be really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I guess it's, you know, much more complicated.
AI, you know, all of the information that's out there on AI, and just, you know, so as Aniko said, paying attention to what our members want to hear about and trying to focus our events on topics that are interesting to people, and providing that opportunity as well to network in person and online. Is really important. Just
and talking about networking, Sarah was just talking about your partners, right? So who are these partners? Do they come to you? Do you go to them? It's a mixture of things. Are they companies? Are they other institutions? Are they universities? So Nancy, and then we'll go to Melissa, because I see you in a specific order in my screen.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
it's a bit absolutely. Biased, but I mean, because Aniko and Nancy are on top, so I'm like looking at that directly, but definitely Nancy and Melissa, I'm sure you have probably different information. I'm not sure. But, you know, let's see, who are these people or who are these institutions? I suppose not necessarily people. Right. Maybe there are individual people. Not sure.
Well, we have partners and sponsors at a global level. So Women in Localization have a sponsorship program, and they have global sponsors. These are usually larger companies that, you know, contribute at various levels. Locally, we are always looking for sponsors for our events, for example, companies that will, you know, maybe sponsor a venue for us to host.
Not necessarily host the in the industry, but things that can be logistics, for example.
Yeah, it's usually in the industry or organizations like UCL, universities where we can hold networking events. UCL is our partner and our sponsor for the upcoming networking event that we're having this week. We work with organizations in the industry who sponsor, who can also participate as members of panels or speakers, or just, you know, sponsor things like giveaways. Acolyte Group, for example, sponsored a giveaway as part of Women in Localization. Mm. So, you know, there's various levels and various things that we do. And as I mentioned, we're always looking for sponsors and partners that we can team up with, you know, for our events and for various activities that we offer.
So, Melissa, so people are sponsors and their partners, and what's in it for them?
This honestly, this is a bit out of my field. I was looking at Aniko. I know. I mean, we have a sponsorship manager.
I'm sorry. It's me who doesn't know who does what so much. I mean, I know by them, but you can send it over to Aniko.
No, I mean, just the one who is usually looking for our sponsors, and like Nancy was saying, there's various different things. Sometimes it's just providing like the venue or and also the people. Like, we invite this. Experts in different fields that come and present, and basically they're just doing it for
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got, from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You know, for the organization, because they believe in the mission. And most of mm-hmm. the time, that's the main reason. Just, of course, we promote our sponsors and our LinkedIn and thank them for all their support. But most of the times, you know, they want to support the mission of the organization. But I'm sure Aniko has more to say about this.
Do you? Just kidding.
So it's two separate things. We have the sponsors, as Nancy and Melissa mentioned, and we also have the partners that Sarah mentioned. We had we still have a local partner. So partners are nonprofit organizations, and locally in the UK, we partner with the Association of Translation Companies. So it's kind of a bit of a different relationship between partners and us and sponsors and us. With the sponsors, as Nancy said, they either provide us with the location for an event, and as Melissa said, so I really don't have anything else to add.
We cannot go into specifics, obviously, right? Not here.
They identify with the mission, and of course they get some exposure from us as well on social media and amongst our members. So we have a specific manager who's a dedicated manager to sponsorship in the team, Amy. So as Nancy's our marketing manager, Sarah and Melissa are the social media managers. We have a sponsorship manager. We have two events managers, Federica and Gabriella. Also Italians. We have lots of Italians in the UK.
I can think of 100 Federicas right now that I've known over the years in the industry. And I'm thinking, what about this one? What about that one? But anyway.
And we have two Carmens.
I guess I should join for some variety, right?
Yeah, we don't have any Portuguese members yet.
This is going to change.
Management team, yeah.
Yes, in the management team, of course.
So so we have Carmen looking after education and mentorship.
Well, you're talking about the same Carmen, right? Carmen Cisneros?
Carmen Cisneros, yeah, that's Carmen.
Also an interview, I'll link.
Yes.
In the podcast.
And we have Carmen, who is looking after our members. So she's the membership manager. And I think I named everyone.
So yes. It is a good moment for us to talk about memberships, right? So yeah. Let's go with the plain logistics of it. So where, who, how, I suppose. So, well, everybody can join, but let's go with Melissa maybe to begin with. She's like, I'm muted. You're not?
Nope.
Okay. You muted. At least I cannot hear you. Can you? Okay, then we go. Ah, yes. I was going to say, Sara, we'll get started.
I mean, honestly, Aniko, she can answer this better than me. I'm so sorry, Aniko. I keep sending you things. But I mean, you can always, I know we have that Women in Localization website. Mm-hmm. That's where it's very, very easy to sign up as a member. It's free, as Aniko said before. So, you know, you basically you should do it. There's nothing to this. You just have benefits, right?
We will all do it. So, but should it be in the main Women in Localization website? Or, do you even have a specific one for your chapter and there's a main one for a general thing, or it's everything in the general one and then you have your respective areas? I have no idea. So how does that go, Sara?
Yes, so the website is general, so it's Women in Localization. Mm-hmm. We can maybe share it afterwards with the link.
Yes, we will share everything.
Yes.
We will share all the links and everything. Anything you want.
Yes, the website is general, but when you sign up, you choose the chapter. You can choose two chapters, basically. So if you're based in the UK, obviously choose the UK chapter. For example, then I'm Italian, so I choose as my second chapter the Italian
exactly.
one. So the good thing about it is that you can join the event of both chapters. So, you know, it's really a good opportunity if you are across two countries. It's really good. You can join events everywhere. And other benefits are that you get recording from all over the world. So all the chapters around the world and the global events as well. So there are global events and local events in all the 28 chapters that we have. So yeah, signing up is very, very quick. You just go online, sign the form, and you get access to our benefits immediately.
So you guys will send me all the relevant links. But just before we go, let's talk about the upcoming events, because Aniko was talking about it. We're talking about it, but that was already probably half an hour ago, so we don't know anymore. So let's make it clear the things that we still have going on for this year that you guys are aware of and can remember right now. And then we'll put all the links that are related to that down there so that we can, you know, everybody can join or everybody can do whatever they want with the information. But of course, you guys are relevant for us in the industry. So I guess it's just to everybody's benefit to be a part of it. So Aniko, let's make it clear what's coming next.
So within the chapter is 24th of November. It's quite short notice. It might already be in the past when the podcast is out, but basically it's about...
No. It's going to be in the present.
Okay, so yeah, 24th of November in London, in person, it's a networking. And also there we have two HR professionals, HR experts, who are experts within the localization industry.
Wow.
We'll talk to us about entering the industry, and then there will be networking. And then on the 8th of December, we will have an AI-focused online event. So even if you're not based in the UK, you can sign up. And actually, that's true for any event. So even if you are not based in the country, you are not a member of that particular chapter, you can always join the online event. So you don't have to be the member of that specific chapter. And in terms of what the global organization, the other chapters have in store for this year, quite a lot. I keep seeing on LinkedIn as well that the other chapters are recommending their final events of the year as well. So I think it's going to be a busy period.
I just attended an event in Utah, in fact, in the Utah chapter. So that is one of the benefits. You can, if no matter where you are, there's always things going on, and it's great to meet up with people in other chapters as well.
Yeah. Well,
I guess
I'm going to have to join, maybe not on the 24th because I have two podcast recordings. But I'll try to see what works, because now I'm very curious and I think it's something that I would also benefit from attending. So I'll check my schedule again. But you know how it is. My episodes can go a little bit. And now that I have two podcasts, it's even worse. So we'll see. But definitely try to be there, because I think it would be such a great opportunity for getting to know more of you and also doing some networking of my own. So any final words, anybody? Or are we all set with... Aniko is like, I am tired of talking about dates and things already.
I think as we were already urging everyone, join the organization. If you want to learn, if you want to network, if you want to keep up with the latest developments in the industry, if you support the cause, I don't know what other reasons you need. So it's free. You can get all the recordings for free. So even like past events, if they are they have already been recorded, you can watch them on the website. There is the mentorship platform called Mentories, where you can register as a mentor and as a mentee or both, and then you can select different areas you want to work on in either capacity. So if you're really good at one area and you can mentor people in that, that's great. But you can also learn some more from other people What else? There's so many other things. There is also a job board on the main website, so it's a global job board. That's all, I think.
Okay, so as you can see, everybody, there's lots of good reasons for you to join this organization, and I'm going to be checking it out. And therefore, as I do my research, I will post, well, you can send me all the links that you want from these events that we talked about, and then I will do a bit more research on my own and post anything that I can find. And so, maybe I will, you know, be creating a Portuguese chapter. You never know. So, because I guess there isn't one, right? as far as I know.
Oh, actually, I think.
I will.
I'm check not sure. I don't remember. We have 28 all over the world, and I remember like.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a Portuguese one.
No, maybe, I don't think there is.
So if you'd like to start your own chapter in a country where it doesn't have a chapter yet, you can also do that through the website. Mm-hmm. So you need, I think, 3 people at least to start a chapter, so you just can't be on your own.
I understand that. That makes sense.
Yeah, but
so another reason to visit the website in case your country doesn't have a chapter, or your country is as big as the US and you want to have one at least per state or per... Because I guess there's, of course, several in the US, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So you have the Utah and you have the Los Angeles and probably the San Francisco. Yeah. Do you have in California 5 or 6, like the San Jose? I guess not, right? But at least Los Angeles for sure. So, and there's a reason why your global event was in San Jose that I'll need to find out, because I mean, I can only imagine that the Silicon Valley is right there, but you know. Okay, so this was great. Thank you so much, Nancy. It was great to meet you and know that we have been co-workers.
Yes, indeed. We'll have to catch up sometime.
For sure, because I guess we were both happy with working for this company, so we can talk about it in peace. It's all good.
Right.
Very nice to meet you, Melissa, and we'll talk more because, as I said many times, very interested in this area. I think it's very interesting for a lot of people who watch the podcast and listen to the podcast, whatever you prefer. If you're walking the dog, I know it's more of a listening situation. But I mean, very interesting. So I'm sure we'll talk about a little more. Sara, you're so interested and so bubbly, and you're one of my people. I believe you say you're shy, but I just cannot believe you, because I can spot a non-shy person when I see one, right?
I hide it away. And oh, I have a final message, though. I have a final message, though. Yeah, okay, follow us on social media, please. Follow us on LinkedIn, too.
For sure, for sure. We're all going to do that. And tomorrow, when the post comes out, so the episode will come out tomorrow, as I'm speaking today, and all of these things will be available. And I'll do a post on LinkedIn. That would be first priority of the morning. And by the afternoon, you'll have a bunch of new people joining. So yeah, so that was a good final message. And Aniko, thank you so much for putting this together, for telling me about the organization, for being really the inspiration for this episode, which was great. So it has been, you know, we have been thinking about it for a minute, but you have been super busy with a special year. And I guess all years are special for the organization, but still, it was great. So nice to have you. So good to meet you. And I'm sure that people will have questions and they will come to you with, you know, other things that they need to know. And good luck for the organization and for each one of your careers. Thank you so much for this time, and I'll see you around. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.